Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to hour number two of Nightlight, broadcasting statewide in Wisconsin here from our beautiful studios at WGBW here in Green Bay at City Deck Landing. Great to have you with me on this Monday night where we are talking about our favorite beverages. It is National Beverage Day. What is the beverage you choose to drink while watching movies or TV? The great American pastime, especially for inside guys like me. My guest right now is Roger Rappaport. We have a few more minutes with Roger. He wrote a book called Searching for Patty Hearst, A True Crime Story. And he is also a filmmaker, activist, and a journalist. And he is with us right now for just a few more minutes. It's great to have him. Roger, what is it like writing? This is basically historical fiction. I mean, you're recreating scenes, and you had great sources in helping you do this. I love the fact that you include notes at the end of your chapters from Steve Weed. And you're even confident enough in your abilities and your information. I think it was around page 55 or 58 where Steve said, Roger, I think you can do better in this chapter. I love that you put that in the book. That shows incredible confidence.
Well, actually, that really did happen. Steve, every time I wrote a chapter, came back with little notes. And by the end of the book, when we were just about done, I found out that he'd been secretly rewriting everything I'd been writing. This is a true story.
Oh, my gosh.
Not fictional. He'd been secretly rewriting the book. And then he basically said, well, you know, your book is too candid. You know, it has too much information about the family. For example, when Patty was in high school, her mother took her on a roots trip to Atlanta, where she'd grown up. And we was using the N-word right and left. And Steve was very nervous about this kind of stuff, you know. The stories of his getting drunk after he was beaten up during the kidnapping, he moved in with the Hearst family. And he stayed up late at night drinking with Randy Hearst, Patty's father. Some of the other rooms in the house were occupied by FBI agents. There were swamis there. So he had all this inside information. Jeez. And, you know, that was what the publisher, of course, wanted. And he suddenly got cold feet. He was afraid that if Patty ever read this book, that she'd never come back to him, which in fact is what happened. So that actually did happen. But I want to make this point to members of your audience who are not familiar with the Patty Hearst kidnapping story. What makes this story pertinent is a lot of the issues that Patty was addressing as someone who had privilege and understood it, not as a theoretical Marxist or as somebody who created a revolutionary group, but as somebody who'd actually lived a life of privilege. A lot of the rhetoric that they were using when she was in captivity hit home for her. And when she started writing these communiques attacking her family and the FBI and so on, the SLA members, like Bill Harris, her kidnapper, actually tried to talk her into toning it down because they felt it was going to sound like it was scripted. You know, so she became a very articulate spokeswoman for the left. But obviously a lot of the country was very turned off by this radical transformation,
you know,
selling out to the left.
Why you just said before they were, that surprised me, the 11th richest family in America. Why don't people now know about, you know, they know about, you know, the Waltons and all these, Jeff Bezos. Why don't you hear the Hearst family? Do they lay low on purpose despite their wealth?
Well, I actually have written for many Hearst publications. In fact, the editor of the first book I did was a Hearst employee before he went to work at Valentine Books. I've written for Her Cousin Will and Outside Magazine. Most recently, I've written for the San Francisco Chronicle this past month, all Hearst publications. And I have to say that the Hearst Corporation, a lot of their publications are really quite good. So they're not pigeonholed the way some large media families are. For example, if you take a look at the editorial page of the San Francisco Chronicle, I think you'd be favorably impressed. Hmm. And a number of their publications fall into this category. And so unlike the stereotypes of all large media organizations being, you know, to totally right wing, which is what her grandfather was. But every succeeding generation, I think, in the Hearst Company has done a better and better job. And
that's fascinating.
I have to concede, as somebody who's worked for Hearst Publications, you know, that I think indirectly Patty experienced when she said to her father famously, you know, Dad, nobody under 80 reads the San Francisco Examiner, his paper. She really hit home with that. And he, after the kidnapping, made a real effort to try to change the tone, not just of the Examiner, but of the whole corporation, you know, to incorporate more minority voices and so forth. So indirectly, I think her kidnapping did have an impact directly on her father and indirectly on the corporation.
That is fascinating. Okay, so let's pivot here. I mentioned at the beginning of the interview that I interviewed you previously on PBS here in Wisconsin. You were on the show that I was hosting called Director's Cut with actor Richard Reilly. How's Richard?
Actually, I was in touch with him today. And now that the actor strike is over, he's back busy as ever.
Yeah.
One of my favorite actors, you know, from Menominee Falls, of course, and most famous for Office Space. And we're in very close touch. In fact, he was involved in the edit of this book. He's a great editor on top of being a great actor and one of the most prolific actors in Hollywood. And a really dedicated to independent filmmaking. He loves doing indie film.
He really does. It was so great. He was on the show a couple months ago and told us the story about how he got the role in Casino, thanks to Joe Pesci. Great story. We'll probably have him on again soon. But I loved that after I interviewed you guys, I was walking down State Street in Madison, and the two of you were at Collectivo Coffee working on another script, and he had made all these notes. So I love the relationship the two of you seem to have when it comes to movies. I think it's great. What's happening with Pilot Air? That's the film we discussed on PBS. So where can people see that? Another great investigative piece of work.
Yeah, you know, just go to rogerrapport.com, my website, and you can find a link to Pilot Air. As everybody knows by now, the subject of that movie, which was air safety, of course, is very much in the headlines because of what's been going on with Boeing. And honestly, I've done two books about that with Captain Shem Malmquist, a 777 captain, grounded an angle of attack, plus the film itself. And I mentioned the Chronicle. I recently did a piece about Boeing and United Airlines for the San Francisco Chronicle, the Hearst newspaper, talking about some of the safety issues that relate directly to the fact that a lot of the older pilots were bought out during the COVID time with all the bailouts to the airlines. And Boeing also laid off 17,000 people, you know, thanks in part to all this government money that was showered on the airlines and the aviation industry. And getting rid of a lot of the old guard has really cost a lot, because obviously they have a lot of the experience, both directly and indirectly, through many, many years. And it's hard to replace that kind of experience in the aviation industry.
Well, I think you do an amazing job. I love when we were in Madison together, you asked to see me before the show when we met in the coffee shop, and you were the first guest on that show that had ever done that. And you gave me so many facts that I had trouble digesting before the show. And I was like, this guy is a serious journalist. So please never stop doing what you do, because I'm just such a huge fan of your work, whether it's movies or books. I have to ask you what I do to almost every guest. What are you watching? What does Roger Rappaport sit down to watch at the end of the day after he's been writing all day?
It's a really great question. So I do watch a lot of documentary material and a lot of feature films, but I also watch a lot of movies just for fun.
Yeah.
I'm gonna basically I've just been on the run so much, watching so many different things, but I recently caught up with an incredible movie that nobody's ever heard of. It's an amazing story. It's a great, everybody knows, Jack Lemmon, you know, Some Like It Hot. But this is a movie that he did at the very end of his career. It was actually, believe it or not, it was a Hallmark, film. And, basically he plays an old guy who, basically is about to go into a nursing home and, you know, assisted living and so on. And what happens is that he ends up hitchhiking across the country with a woman who's in her early 20s. It's called The Long Way Home.
Oh, yeah.
It's with Sarah Paulson, and it's Jack Lemmon, for anybody who doesn't know his unbelievable career.
Great stuff.
This is Jack Lemmon the way you've never seen him. I mean, he's such a gifted actor. So he's one of my all-time favorites.
He's phenomenal.
And that's example.
Yeah, that's a great recommendation. Then, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
And I also want to go to Greta Gerwig, a book. Greta Gerwig, obviously, you know, she's had a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Of late, but, you know, but what I wanted to tell you is she did a film where she played the lead actress called Maggie's Plan. It was written by Arthur Miller's daughter, Rebecca Miller. And it's one of the funniest films. She's so great. Maggie's Plan. And again, it's another movie that kind of not everybody's heard about.
I have not heard of that one.
Yeah, Maggie's Plan. It's hilarious. A lot of the SNL stalwarts are in there. It's got a Maya Rudolph is in there, Bill Hader, and so on.
And, outstanding.
If you're not doing anything tonight, Ethan Hawke, Julianne Moore, it's just a great cast. It's a wonderfully funny movie. So I love to try to find movies that haven't quite hit, you know, gotten to where they should have been. That's my passion, I have to say.
Well, those are two phenomenal recommendations. This is what we do here, is just exchange information about TV and movies. So thank you for your contribution.
Yeah.
And thanks for the book. Go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome.
And I'll be in the neighborhood. My wife and I are coming to the Door County for a week to see. You know, there are now 5 professional theater companies in Door County.
Oh, it's,
we're trying to get to all of them in 1 week.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You're going to have a great time. And I look forward to seeing you. I hope we connect for sure. Keep me posted.
Yeah.
All right. Great. That is Roger Rappaport. Thanks so much for your time, buddy. We'll talk again soon. And good luck
thanks
with
a
the
lot.
Book.
Yeah.
You got
Take
it.
Take care. Yeah, thank you.
You're
thanks.
Welcome.
Bye-bye.
Check out the book. Searching for Patty Hearst, A True Crime Story by Roger Rappaport. I'm on page 80. It reads really fast. It reads like a documentary, like a gripping documentary, to be honest. And it's a very quick read. And I'm already on page 80, and I started it 2 days ago. For me, that's fast. Coming up next, I'm very excited. In studio, comedian Tracy Schrader, and I'm going to read your text, too. That's next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You feel pain, 'cause nothing will be the same. Just another night is all that it takes to understand the difference between lovers and fakes. So baby, I talk to you.
So our question is, what's your favorite beverage to have while watching a movie or binge-watching TV? It is National Beverage Day. There is a national day for just about everything. It is also National Nurses Day. So if you want to give a shout-out to a nurse, you're welcome to do that as well. And as you know, comment on anything we're talking about here on the text line, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And you're welcome to call as well. Our phone line is open now, right, Conrad?
Yes, it is open now.
Okay, so, all right. Conrad's mom checked in. I can't not read Conrad's mom's text. Paula says, so it depends on my mood. Sometimes it's a Captain and Coke or wine. Does that sound consistent, Conrad?
Yeah, Captain and Coke for sure.
Your mom's a big Captain and Coker?
Yeah.
What does your dad drink besides Pepsi?
He likes a good Jack and Coke.
Okay.
Or
they like their Coke or Pepsi.
Or a nice Busch Light.
Or a nice Busch Light. All right. Jim from Appleton says, depends on where and what I'm watching. Oh, Jim's got like a drink for his mood. I love it. He says, movie in the Cineplex, Dr. Pepper and a tub of popcorn. I love the tub of popcorn. TV shows at home, wine or mixed drinks, Packer game, beer, usually a nice porter or stout. I love the thought that went into Jim's answer, that he's got a different drink for every... He's like George Costanza. He dresses based on mood. Jim, those are great. I love the, you know, I recently am a convert to Dr. Pepper. I just developed recently. My palate appreciates.
Dr. Pepper's so good.
Yeah. Have you ever had it with real sugar?
Yeah,
dynamite.
I've had zero sugar, Dr. Pepper, regular. No, I've had every single flavor.
You're like literally a doctor of the Dr. Pepper franchise.
There's a new coconut flavor.
That sounds really repulsive. A coconut Dr. Pepper?
Yeah. I haven't tried that one yet.
Okay.
But I'm willing.
Well, listen, I'm willing. I'll try it. I like to live on the edge. From the 818, Bridget says, refreshing seltzer. Nothing wrong with that. You know what? That's my drink now when I go home. Well, except, and I'm going to have to come down off the high of the sun drop I had at 5:30. But I like a nice refreshing, a nice LaCroix with lemon or a San Pellegrino over ice. That's how old I am and how lame I've become. My favorite drink is a refreshing seltzer, too. I'm with you, Bridget. Thank you for the text. I'm lame. Bridget's not lame. Hey, Nightlight with Peach Schwab is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. I will be there tomorrow night doing a remote broadcast, and that will be really fun. John and Gordy from the morning show on WMDX are going to be there. Kirk Bangstad and Susan Gettert will sing. Poet Richard Vargas will join us and musician Tommy Bentz. How fun does that sound? Conrad, you are going to be so envious. You're going to be here by yourself.
Yeah.
I know that's how you like it, though. Conrad hates when I show up. Tracy's laughing, and I haven't even introduced her. That's a great sign. Tracy Schrader is here, everybody. She's a Wisconsin comedian. She's a Northeast Wisconsin comedian, and she joins us here in the studio live. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's great, great to be here. Yeah. Thanks for inviting me.
My pleasure. Well, you know, it's funny because we were talking before the show about how you forget stuff, especially when you do stand-up. I'm sure you're doing clubs. It's like, yeah, and it's that way now. It's like, yeah, I think I met that guy or that, but I knew I met you because you were in Marinette. I book a football fundraiser once a year, but Tracy came up with another comic, so I didn't book her, but I did meet you, and I was racking my brain because I'm always looking for fun guests to have here, and I'm like, what was her name? And I knew it was Schrader or Schroeder. It was spelled Schroeder. It looks like Schroeder, but you pronounce it Schrader. So I found you on Facebook, and I'm glad I did.
Well, good. Yeah, I was wondering how you found me. And I was like, I recognized the name. And I was like, how did he, out of all the comics, find me? So, and it's weird because my last page got hacked, my Facebook.
Oh.
So I have a new page, and I don't even think my new page has, like, anything comedy related on there. So
really?
So good for you.
I took a chance. You're actually not a comedian, are you? You're like,
no, not
I'm just a homemaker, and I want to give tips.
I'm just a mom, and I just
that's okay.
Yeah.
I would still enjoy talking to you. No, that's how much of an impression you made because you were up at this football fundraiser, and I was like, yeah, that's Tracy. I know Tracy. So,
cool.
Okay, so it's when I did stand up, it was years ago. I was based out of Chicago, and it was a great place to be based out of because you had all the clubs that were in Chicago. Milwaukee was an hour and a half away. Madison, Detroit, all these, it was a really good location if you work the road. How is it being in Appleton, and do you work the road a lot?
You know, it's weird because I started comedy 20 years ago. Being from Appleton was very tough because there wasn't a lot of opportunity inside of the Fox Cities
right.
or Green Bay. I think at that time I was probably one of the only female comedians. So that was tough as well, but I really got my start in Milwaukee. So I started taking a comedy class and kind of branched out through there. Now it's a lot better. Now there's so many comedians like in the Fox Cities and Green Bay open mics now that some of the younger comedians coming up can really, really get their feet wet by doing open mics and stuff. So
isn't that great? Because I remember when I would come up here and I worked the Skyline Comedy Club a few times, and then Frank Herman's and Mike had a club here in Green Bay for a while. Do you work the road much, and do you travel far, or do you have a limit on how far you're willing to go? I know you have kids.
Yeah, I used to go wherever they would pay me. Now I'm a little bit more choosy to where I go because I do have kids, and my first priority is obviously my son. So I try to book as local as possible, like within Wisconsin, within a reasonable drive. Like I'll do Chicago, but I really like to stay local.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You said you have kids, but you like to focus on your son.
Yeah, my daughter,
She's a lost cause already.
She's a lost cause, yeah. No, she's 21 and doesn't really care anymore, but that mom is a comedian or,
yeah,
you know, she doesn't really pay attention too much. She's too wrapped up in her own world, so.
Yeah, that tends to happen.
Do
either of your kids express an interest in following you into the comedy world?
My son does.
Really?
Which is, he actually trapped us in a garage one time. It was family, and he wanted to do a live stand-up in front of the entire family because he knew I did it. And I'm like, okay, this is going to go either really bad or really good. But he held us hostage for about 45 minutes of just talking. And I'm surprised because he was actually funny.
Okay.
And he was like 10 years old at the time.
So, and he had 45 minutes?
He had 45 minutes. I didn't have 45 minutes until I was like 15 years into comedy.
I think I was headlining after 5 years and I had like 40 minutes and I had to kind of work the crowd to fill that extra 5 minutes. That's what bookers would say. They would call up during the comedy boom when I started, and they go, there was a guy named Fletcher Lee out of Kenosha. He's a great guy. He'd say, hey, Pete, how much time you got now? Like, they needed people. And I'm right? Like, I could probably do 40. I was not ready to headline them. But that's pretty cool about your son. Like, did he work clean?
He did. He was very clean. Wow. I was surprised. Otherwise, he would have been grounded. So I was completely impressed.
He probably could have done another hour if you let him work blue, right?
Yeah, we had to cut him off.
Yeah. All right. My guest is Tracy Schrader. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit of Tracy's comedy. And I'm going to ask her how she got her start. That's next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
This is Nightlight, hour two. Well into hour two. Having fun here on a Monday night with Tracy Schrader in the studio. She is a Northeast Wisconsin-based comedian. What do you have a favorite beverage you like to watch movies or TV with?
You know, it's weird being from Wisconsin. I'm actually allergic to alcohol.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. So it would have to be like Coke or water. I know. It's weird.
Like, I didn't know that when I booked you on the show, Tracy. that's a good thing to be allergic to, actually.
And it's weird. It developed later in my life, like after my 20s. Into my 30s, I developed a severe allergic reaction to, it's funny, you guys were talking about rum and Cokes, yeah. And that was what one drink did me in.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I cannot drink rum.
And you're probably better for it. I mean, I haven't had a drink in, 17 months.
Okay.
So the judge said it was that or join the army. And but I feel great. You know, I don't know if I'll do it forever, but I'm enjoying it, and Conrad and I get along a lot better now because he's drunk most of the time. all right, so Tracy Schrader is my guest. She's here in studio. She made the long drive from Northeast Wisconsin to Northeast Wisconsin. It's great to have her here. Let's hear a little bit of her comedy right now.
But I took her with me to get her hair cut the other day at a salon. I'm not going to tell the name, Regis. And... the girl behind the counter, she's like, oh my God, she's like, your daughter, she's so beautiful. She's like, that hair, that skin, where'd you get her from? I'm like, what? She's like, you know what country? I'm like, a little country called My Vaginaville. Yeah. She's like, is that in Africa? I'm like, yeah. It's near the bush. I think some lives next door. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
That's great. How old is that? Because you said your daughter's 21 now?
She is. That's a really old joke.
Oh, it is?
And I totally forgot that I used to do that joke.
Did we just give you some new material that you can recycle? Or?
Right, exactly. I'm like, oh, I haven't done that one in a while. I'm going to have to pull that out of the archives.
That's great. How did you get your start? What made you, as an adult, you said your daughter's 21, you've been doing stand-up for 20 years. What makes a young mom go, I'm going to be a comedian, and I think I can do this?
You know, it's weird. I started, I was always a class clown in high school. Like, I was always either getting in trouble or trying to make people laugh. I started a job. I was always making my boss laugh. And I just knew, like, I was a good writer. And I'm like, the performing aspect came later on in life. I was an awful performer. But I knew that I could get up on stage and eventually, after being comfortable, I could make people laugh. So I started taking a comedy class in Milwaukee, and it was Roz Turner.
Oh, Roz. Love Roz.
Yep. So she hosted the class. It was I drove from Appleton, Milwaukee, like weekly. I think it was like an 8-9 week class, and then we graduated at the end. But she would just teach us how to write.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't teach someone like how to be funny. Either
right.
You're funny or you're not funny.
Right.
And I was not funny. Oh my gosh, not at all. Like it was weird because it didn't transcend from writing into the stage until years later. And then the more comfortable I became, and I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. And I did. And then
good
I started.
For you.
Yeah. So that was kind of.
It's so funny when I remember when I started doing stand-up and I had friends that would teach classes and I'm like, oh God, they're just scamming people. Like you can't teach people, but you can. There is an art to, and sometimes that's all people need is some structure. It's like, oh, that's how you write a joke. And then they're really good at it. And I don't think most stand-ups have to be great performers. I know tons of stand-ups that are dead. Like Stephen Wright is not a great performer.
No.
There's a comic called Todd Barry who's kind of deadpan, but his jokes are great, you know?
Yep. I think it really, if you are a fantastic writer, it really can propel you into that next level.
Yeah.
You know, but there's so many people like my friends who are like, yeah, I could totally do that. Like I could get on stage and do that. And I'm like, you really think so? I mean, and they're funny people off stage, but to do it on stage, it's completely different.
What do you do when you tell, because I laugh about this with my friends, like when they find out you're a comedian and they say, you know, a lot of people say I should try that. How awkward is that? Like,
that is super awkward. Like,
well, then just do it. Don't tell me.
Exactly.
I don't know what to say to that, you know?
Yeah. I'll usually tell them when the next open mic is. I'll be like, okay, here you go.
Nice.
Here's the open mic. You go and you see how easy it is.
Nice.
So
who are, is there enough of a network in Northeast Wisconsin that you have other friends who are comedians?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I have
nice.
Tons of other
who are your friends?
Friends.
Who are your friends?
So Sean Patrick Moore is one of my friends.
He's the guy that came to Marinette, I think.
Was it?
You
okay.
Came up,
was it a bearded guy?
Yes.
Okay, Sean Patrick Moore. Yep.
Gotcha.
Steve Hartman, Mike Merrifield. These are all the guys that I kind of like came up with in
nice.
Comedy. Brackenridge, Rob Brackenridge is another.
Oh, I met him in LA when we were both out there. I sent him a Facebook message literally 2 days ago.
Really?
Because he's
wow.
in the area too, and I heard he was back here.
He's back here now.
Okay. Oh,
and
great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're definitely some of my closer friends in comedy. But I have a lot of friends like through the Chicago network too, like Kevin Bozeman. He's the one that kind of helped me.
Yeah.
It was my mentor in comedy
okay.
and kind of like helped me get into clubs and get different gigs and stuff. So there's always that one person that really helps you.
So who would you say your influences were? Like when you were watching comedy and you thought I can do this, like who are the comedians you were watching either growing up or as an adult?
Carol Burnett was
nice.
Probably one of my favorites because she has such physical comedy.
She's so funny. I mean, she has the whole pack. She's like, she's actually really pretty, but she still looks funny somehow. You just know something is going on up there.
Right.
She's so great. That's a great
she
one.
She is. Yeah. She's one of my favorites. Ellen, obviously.
She was a phenomenal stand-up comedian too. Yeah.
She's probably my all-time favorite just because she's very smart. She's very witty. She's very, you know, obviously she stopped doing comedy because she got so successful doing everything else. So, but, those are, I think, my two favorites.
Ellen was on, I think, the Young Comedian special one year, and I just was like, who is that? Like, she literally had jokes. Like, she would do the joke, and then there would be two quick aside jokes in the joke. And I'm like, I'd never seen anything like that quick, you know, that many jokes in that short a time. It was so great. Do you have favorite clubs you like to work?
Yeah, like Skyline in Appleton was one of my favorite clubs to work, for sure. That was... And I haven't performed there now in a bit, but I'd like to get back in performing there. Milwaukee, obviously, is JD's was one of my favorites. I know they're not he's not around anymore, but I had so many great memories there. I used to work that club probably once a month because he just really I was probably one of the only female comics that he liked working his room, which is weird because
it is weird.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of my questions for you, and it's interesting you say that. When I was I primarily did stand up in the 90s and I toured all over and I liked it, but I always felt bad for female comics because I always felt like the club owner would give them so much. And this is a true story, and I think I talked about this on the show prior to this, but there was a club owner out east, I'll just say, and he said, you can't stay in the comedy condo because what if the guys want to walk around and they're all together? Okay, first of all, we don't do that. Dudes don't just hang out naked just upon meeting. Like, it was such a weird thing to say. It was obviously he was targeting her or making her pay some price, like making her feel bad that he had to get a hotel room for her or something. Is it easier to work the road now for women?
I think it's easier now than it was back in the 90s and the early 2000s. I mean, just some of the rat holes that I stayed at, I would never even put anybody in those now. But I mean, I remember having to share condos with other men.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a little rough because, and thank God I didn't really drink back then either. So, I think it's a lot better now. And I think there's no comedy condos anymore. Everybody gets put up in hotels.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that thing is kind of
problem
a
solved.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
I remember, you know, sharing a condo with this guy and, you know, I was always in pretty good shape and felt like I could take care of myself. This guy was like a bodybuilder comedian. He's like 6'4" and I was like, there's no locks on the bedroom doors. I don't even want to share a condo with, not that he was a bad guy. Right. I felt weird. So I can't even imagine how you'd feel as a woman. Have you ever stayed in the comedy condo in Milwaukee?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yes.
The one, okay, so it was Kitty Corner.
Yep.
From the club.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, that condo is haunted. Have you ever had an issue there or heard that?
Mm-mm. I heard gunshots, but... I heard there was like a drug dealer that lived upstairs because you could always hear him like in the middle of the night, like making drug deals.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But with the other comic you were staying with?
Probably, yeah.
Right. Wow. Yeah, we used to stay there. It's so sad now when I drive by the Comedy Cafe where it used to be on Brady Street there. Well, the last time I went by it anyway, it was still there. The sign was still there, but nothing has happened there in years. It's just because they moved downtown after that. There was nothing there, but that condo was just so much fun. We had like after shows sometimes on the weekends, all of a sudden, like the wait staff, they had all these crazy valet guys that were, and I'm like, who invited all these people? Like
Jimmy.
And you remember
Jimmy the valet, short little guy, Italian guy.
Jimmy
he would
the
park
valet.
The cars. Duke was the
you know,
bouncers.
If these are guys you remember, you were after me, so I probably wouldn't know
you
them. But it sounds
them.
Like the same type of...
right.
They were just like one of the guys when I was there, the owner came in and said, hey, so-and-so, did you headbutt a customer? Or do you know which one of the valets headbutted a customer? And he was the head valet, and he goes, yeah, I did. Why? Like, customer was mouthy, so what was I supposed to do? It was that kind of thing, you know? They were as funny as the comics, so... There were two or three nights in particular I can remember. We were back at the condo with all these people I don't know. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to join the party because I can't go to bed.
Right.
So, and it was so much fun. And supposedly underneath in the basement of that condo, I don't know if you heard this, there were tunnels to Giovanni's restaurant.
Yes.
Under Van Buren Street.
I heard that. I didn't know if that was true. Was that?
Well, I don't know. We did like an Al Capone's vaults type thing. Me and a couple of the comics and some people went down there one night and we were looking because supposedly they boarded it up and we were kind of looking for it. Okay. We ended up all just hanging out down there having a beer and it was really fun. I don't know if it exists or not, but anyway, crazy times. Tracy Schrader is here. She is a Northeast Wisconsin based stand-up comic joining me here in the studio on Nightlight tonight. So where can people see you? You got any dates coming up?
I do, actually. I am going to be in Wapaka at the Chain o' Lakes Bar on May 17th. So not this Saturday, but next Saturday.
Chain o' Lakes Bar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I've never been there before, so, but hopefully it'll be fun. And
are you working with someone that you know? Or
I have no idea who I'm working with.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I usually don't find out and probably till like the day before until I kind of research and I'm like, oh yeah, that's who I'm working with.
It was it was always so fun having those gigs where it was like an hour away and you could still be back and have somewhat kind of still have a weekend or something, you know? Do you have a website you can steer people to or any YouTube
just
stuff?
Just my Facebook. Okay. My Facebook, Tracy Schrader, S-C-H-R-O-E-D-E-R. I know it's kind of spelled a little weird, but pronounced Schrader. And
you can find, we found some stuff of yours on YouTube. So check out Tracy on YouTube as well. There was some longer sets you had. You had one like 20-minute set.
I did. Yeah. That was from only a couple of years ago. So from like a benefit, I think like a comedy benefit that I did.
Okay.
So, but yeah.
I noticed you didn't have any clips of your time in Marinette online.
I didn't.
Maybe talk to Sean Patrick Moore about that or something. Can you stick around for a couple of minutes?
I can, yeah,
all
definitely.
Right, Tracy is here. She's going to help me close down this edition of Nightlight. Our question tonight is, if I can find it, what beverage do you drink when you watch movies or binge watch TV? What is your beverage of choice? It is National Beverage Day. Conrad is hammered right now. We are going to, his whole family likes Coke with their booze. We're finding that. We're learning a lot about Conrad. You always think you know everything about Conrad, and then there's like new stuff that comes out. And that's a testament to you, my friend.
Thanks to my parents texting in.
That's right. We know about your whole life. So text us and let us know. Text us about anything you want to talk about. 855-752-4842. Text with a question for Tracy, if you like. We'll be right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Met a girl, we had a few drinks, and I told her what I decided to do.
This could just be the rest of the show is this song, because, like, I'm not the biggest Bob Seger fan in the world, but he has a few songs where when I hear them, it's just Bob Seger. That's all there is to it. And when I'm in Michigan, and I was there with my son, we went to this movie premiere in Detroit about a year and a half ago. We both had a small part in the movie. We're driving back through Chicago, back up to northern Wisconsin, and I'm like, I'm in Michigan. Bob Seger, yes. Like, it's just a weird thing. It's like Springsteen in New Jersey. I don't know. You like Bob Seger?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
He's like, got some cool things.
Night Moves? Is that one?
Yeah,
it
Night Moves. Yeah.
That's probably the only one I know.
So you're batting 1,000 when it comes to Seger tunes. Yeah, he just has those great, and you know what? I've talked about this before. I used to be very snobby when I would hear about musicians selling their music to like corporate brands or commercials. And I'd get judgy. And what do I know? If somebody offered me a couple million bucks for a whatever, I'd probably go, oh, yeah, of course. Like, but he was on the CBS Morning News once, Bob Seger was, and he was talking about, he addressed a question by one of the anchors who said, what do you say to people who criticize you for selling your song like a rock? To, it was either Ford or Chevy. I can't remember who did that campaign. Yeah. But kind of challenging him on selling out. And he said, well, I would say that that song with those trucks sold a lot of trucks and saved a lot of jobs. And I was like, wow.
Perfect answer.
That is the, and that's what it's all about. Yeah. And that's what guys like him and Springsteen, when they started, that's what they were writing about, you know? And so good for him for being true to his, you know, his intentions from very early on. So are Wisconsin audiences, Tracy, different than other places that you go? It seems like you stay kind of close to home these days, but have you noticed a Wisconsin sensibility or sense of humor or quirkiness?
Definitely, yeah. I think Wisconsin audiences are smarter sometimes than other audiences. And being the fact that I have such a Wisconsin accent, I think there's a likability to that.
Okay.
In some other states as well, because sometimes they don't understand what we're saying either.
But it's a friendly accent.
But it's a friendly. Yeah. I've never, you know, I've never had a bad experience with an audience member. They've always.
Really?
Yeah, never. Wow. It's always been very, very nice interactions, very like grateful that you're out there performing.
Are you telling me you've never been heckled?
Oh, you know, it's weird. I've never really been heckled. Like there's been a couple times, but I think maybe I'm just on stage and I'm in my own element that I don't hear it, but I've never been heckled. Like to the point where it throws me off guard or yeah. Maybe they're afraid. Like I'm not going to say anything to her. God only knows what she'll say back, but
You know, it's funny. I've never been heckled. I probably have been heckled for a lot of stuff, but it was always like my skin because I have a pinkish hue, and people would make fun of like fair skin or sunburn or being Irish. One time I got off stage at a club on the south side of Chicago, and I walked past this table of guys who were all like young guys from the city that were like 21, and I heard one guy lean over to his buddy and go, "Finally." So mad initially, then I'm like, oh, whatever.
You
know, I chewed at that set. It was terrible. But it's weird. It does catch you off guard. Mm-hmm. I remember I opened for Chris Rock in Pittsburgh and got heckled. And it was by a 14-year-old kid with his parents. And he was using horrible language. And I was like, I can't believe this kid's talking like that in front of his parents in the front row. And it totally threw me. And then I was like, wow. And then eventually I found my group, but that set was horrible. And then I realized when you work certain crowds, you have to like really go face to face with them.
Oh, for sure.
And really tear them down a little bit. And that's what they want. That's why they're being so confrontational.
Exactly.
Right?
A lot of the times when they come, when you're like an opener, especially for someone like Chris Rock,
yeah.
they don't want to see the right. opener. They want to see Chris Rock. Do you know what I mean?
And I'm the whitest guy in the world. I mean, and I don't mean just like black crowds. I mean, wherever you go, where you're an outsider, whether it's the South, I remember doing a joke about being Catholic and getting booed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I was like, wait a minute. What? Like where I was from in Chicago. And then when we moved to Wisconsin, everyone was Catholic.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what are you guys? And someone said, we're Christians. I said, Catholics are Christians, yeah. And then I swore at him, which is how I think Jesus would have wanted me to respond. But it's weird when you get, when you feel out of your element, and then you find your groove, and eventually you figure it out, right?
Exactly, for sure.
But you've never been heckled. That's like,
you know, I probably have, but I just, like I said, when I'm on stage, I try not to interact, and I try, especially when like starting out as a comedian, it'll throw your timing off, and then you'll forget your jokes. So
absolutely. That's so do you have any like road stories or stories of an audience member saying something at you after a show or anything like that, or a club owner?
It's weird. When I first started out, I was working a bunch of different clubs, and I wanted to really get into JD's, which was a comedy club in Milwaukee. One of my friends introduced me to JD. And at this time, I was told JD wasn't really liking female comedians.
Okay.
So they're like, you really have to impress him. And I know you said you kind of knew what JD was like. He was just this gruff, you know, like gangster. And he
could be a real sweetheart.
He could
but
be.
Had a very tough exterior,
tough
for
exterior.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the first time he met me, he's like, so are you funny? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I definitely want to do stand-up. I think I'm funny. And he's like, tell you what, he goes, I'll give you one shot. He goes, if you blow your wad in my club, you will never work my club again. It's like, well, this is great. I'm glad that I...
Sadly, about 15 years before the Me Too movement took place.
Right, exactly.
I don't think a club owner would say that
to a
female
never,
comic.
Never.
It doesn't even really make sense, but...
It doesn't make sense. And I was like, I didn't realize I had a wad to blow.
God love him. That's our JD.
Yep.
May he rest in peace. And he ran a good club. That was a great club.
It was a fantastic club. I miss those days. And
Tracy, this was really fun. I'm glad you made the drive from Northeast Wisconsin all the way to Northeast Wisconsin. It was great to have you here. And I hope you come back again sometime. I hope
for sure. This was fun. Thank you for
having
me.
And I didn't heckle you.
You didn't.
I had you. I've
you
never
have to
heckled
come to one of my shows to heckle me.
I wouldn't do that. I would
Pete
never
and I, we'll make a road trip.
Yeah, we. Conrad and I have still never been to a comedy club together. We've never palled around outside of Nightlight. How,
really?
What do you make of that, Trace?
Oh, that's kind of, how long have you guys worked together?
5 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He wants nothing to do with me. He punches out at 9 o'clock and he's out of here. Hey, tomorrow night I am live from Madison. It's going to be great. John and Gordy will be there from the WMDX Morning Show. Poet Richard Vargas, singers Kirk Bangstad and Susan Gettert, and musician Tommy Benz. Thanks so much for... Oh, I did it again, Conrad. I thought I lost my caffeine buzz. Thanks so much for being here tonight on Nightlight. I'd like to thank my guests, Roger Rappaport and Tracy Schrader. And thank you for all your texts and the call we missed. Sorry about that. We'll get back to you, though. Join me tomorrow in Madison on Nightlight. Have a great night, Wisconsin.